got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage.
Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Hello, you're listening to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA here in the Allo Communications studios. We love that introduction that Micah recorded years ago with his song, Nerd Rage.
Yes, that was me. I have talent.
You well do. Done, sir.
We are here about to get nerdy. Scott Maggerflesh, Micah Kilpatrick, and myself, Nick Kenny, a.k.a.
Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalous.
Darth Harmonic.
And I think the funniest thing in studio is every time that music comes on, Nick sits up a little straighter, puts his hands in one another, and he closes his eyes in this little angelic smile like, oh, look at me, and I have my pinky out, and let me have some tea. And
indeed. The complete opposite of what the Greeley Philharmonic is trying to do as well as far as bringing people in. So,
but
I am,
aren't you more of a John Williams fan?
I'm a fan of just about anything.
So you'd probably like this one better.
Darthus Pincus.
No, that's probably true. Yeah,
I like that one better.
He's definitely a fan of vests. We have noticed that we've gotten to fall, and the Nick Kenny vest season has officially started.
It is. I've got vests for every day of the week, and then some.
Yeah.
Puffy vests are
in. Do you
have
a bulletproof one?
No. Should I be warned?
No.
Well, that was...
What?
I was just curious.
Well,
do you have one of those vests that's like that will allow you to float in water?
No.
So you just have like the fashion ones.
That's very, very much true.
Do you have one that has like logos on it, like Star Wars and stuff?
I don't. I'm pretty basic. I am a talking billboard, not necessarily a walking billboard.
See, now I'm a walking billboard. I'm a walking billboard for all the things
Denver
that
Broncos.
I like.
Yes.
Denver Broncos.
Go Broncos.
I don't think I have any Star Trek shirts. I used to have a Star Wars Episode 1 shirt, but I outgrew that.
What? That came out 23 years ago, Micah.
Yeah. My grandma got that for me many, many years ago, and I outgrew it. Not only vertically, you know, but horizontally. I outgrew that shirt.
Did you make it into a quilt? I know that's something people do with all the T-shirts that they collect over the years, whether that's from school or, you know, projects and volunteerism that they did. Did you convert it into – or even a pillowcase?
You remember when I jokingly took credit for that song at the very beginning and said, I have talent. I actually have no talent whatsoever. I can't sew. I tried sewing a pocket once, and I think I made it worse. I think I actually created a hole in the space-time continuum trying to fix a hole.
That's special.
Yes, that's how great I am at stuff.
I'm thinking of about a Robot Chicken episode where Micah just destroys pockets while sewing. That seems like a Family Guy episode, too, where Brian goes back and forth in time and keeps messing things up. So you just go back. Nope, I need this stitch that way. Like, I don't know why we're talking about sewing.
I have no idea. I zoned out for a minute. Well, you guys started talking, and I just went, I don't know what they're talking about.
Were you really that bored by our conversation?
No,
maybe
not
we should
really.
Move on to DC news.
DC news. Mm-hmm. Well, the three of us went out last week with a special guest we had on a few weeks ago, Darth Suede Shoes, right? That was the
title. Darth Blue Suede Shoes.
Darth Blue Suede Shoes, our good friend Eric Suede. And saw Black Adam. And there's mixed reviews just from the three of us, I know. But, DC.
Well, first of all, we have to mention that Superman is in that movie. But Superman, Henry Cavill, is back playing Superman.
Yep.
And he is playing Superman
mm-hmm.
for good. So he's left The Witcher, which people who liked The Witcher liked him as The Witcher, but now he's left to play Superman. He's being The Witcher's now being covered by Hemsworth.
Hemsworth, yeah.
I don't know how that's going to go. I think Witcher's probably going to be canceled. It's already one of those you either like it or hate it shows. But Henry Cavill now back as Superman, he says the next movie is going to be more joyful. So we don't have that negativity, that nihilism that the DCEU had. We have more of that hope that the stuff in the 70s were like.
Well, I don't remember those days.
But well, didn't you watch them? Like the first Superman, I think it came out in like 1970 or 1972.
That, you know who did the score for that?
What?
You know who did the musical score for that?
Of course, John Williams.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
One of the best. That one was very hopeful. And then the second one was really good. And then the third one had Richard Pryor, who was one of the funniest men of all time, but just a really terrible movie. And then the fourth one existed. It was like Rocky IV. That existed too. But they all had kind of positive tones to them. And the recent DC movies have been so negative.
They've been dark. There was a great meme I saw the other day where there was, you know, a director next to a camera operator, and it said, Marvel, lights, camera, action. And right below that, it said, DC, camera, action. Is that where you're going at with how dark it was, Micah?
Well,
but generally, those movies are filmed very dark. And that's actually been a complaint of late with fans, especially with House of the Dragon. Fans were complaining at how dark some of the episodes were. And I did read an article on Twitter that kind of explains, hey, they try to do their best for adaptation, but a lot of those folks are filming that in a way that it's going to be on the big screen. Well, House of the Dragon's not going to be on the big screen, so there has to be, and everyone has different TV setups and different lighting in their rooms. So it's really challenging to kind of pull that off. But I've become frustrated over the years, not just recently, but over the years, of how dark some TV shows are. And I'm not talking about how dark mentally and psychologically they are, but how
just visually.
Yeah. And I don't like adjusting, you know, my TV
turning
settings.
The brightness up.
Yeah.
I already have the brightness as medium, because normally when I watch shows that I'm very interested in, I watch them at night before I go to bed, and automatically the screen has cut a lot of the blue light. So it's already turned that on so that I can sleep at night. And it's really, really difficult to see a lot of things, especially I forgot who the showrunner is who just left House of the Dragon, but he did a lot of that, like the dark shots, and it's tough to see. It's like he did the Battle of Winterfell, and that was the biggest complaint, other than overall it sucking because they ruined our characters.
Micah's opinion, by the way.
Everyone's opinion.
Not everyone's.
The opinions of Michael Kilpatrick do not necessarily represent those that are on The Nerd Show, nor those of the radio station or its advertisers.
The opinions of Micah Kilpatrick are not necessarily the opinions of radio station KFKA, its staff, management, guests, or any other sane human being. Micah Kilpatrick is a one-of-a-kind weirdo, and we apologize for him. However, he is correct in saying, go Broncos.
How dare you? And if anyone agrees with how weird Micah is, please
text 888-530-0043.
I don't
Holy
have the
moly,
number.
My phone's blowing up.
I know.
What's going on?
Well, I want an opportunity to re-record the disclaimer with the same script.
Oh, okay.
You okay with that?
Sure.
That'd be awesome. Okay, we'll do that. By the way, before we get too far away from it, you understand what he was talking about with the blue light, right?
No.
Okay.
What? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for screens.
Yeah, all right.
Yep, to be good on your eyes.
Yes, well, it also—
To be kinder on your
it
eyes.
It also allows you to go to sleep, because that blue light actually stimulates parts of your brain, which makes it more difficult for people to sleep. So if you're watching stuff on TV late at night, and that blue light element is being active, it's activating your brain.
And that's, a lot of the older technology, because I have an older iPad that doesn't have that.
Right.
And that's why I can't watch things in bed. I don't have a TV in my bedroom. But if I'm watching
What was that thing on your ceiling?
Oh, you know
Oh,
what?
Never mind.
my whole
that was a mirror.
A mirror.
He watches himself when he sleeps.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Nick.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
You know, you can actually buy blue light blocking glasses for $10. And that's what I do a lot of times. Is I'll watch
They've been
that.
Selling those since the 80s, man. Come on. Don't you know the blue blockers?
What? I don't know. I was born in the 80s.
Man.
I was a child.
Well,
might have to go and find an On the break, we'll have to find one of those advertisements about the blue blocker shades that they actually sold.
Those are sweet.
They were super sweet.
It was kind of like, you look at it, it was cool. It's like when you get your eyes dilated at the optometrist.
Yep. It's not that good, really.
It's not.
We have totally digressed to a point where I feel like we're not even talking about nerd stuff anymore.
I don't either. How much time do we all have left in the segment?
Is there any news that we missed? I know we've got 2 minutes left in this segment. I know we were talking about Henry Cavill going back and playing Superman, which I think fans are ecstatic about. I'm very happy about this because he was a good Superman. I don't know if he was the best, but he was a good Superman. And he's a nerd himself, so he's very meticulous about being Superman. So well, I think this is a good thing for DC. This is a good thing for the nerd world. Even though it hurts Netflix, it's going to help nerds out overall. Because DC is a much bigger property.
I don't know about that. Black Panther 2... and the originally Storyrunner was supposed to be more of an Endgame feel to it. The showrunners have reported in like 2 weeks before, you know, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever comes out, that it was going to focus a lot on T'Challa's struggles with losing all of that time and how much people hurt with the Black Panther gone, especially in Wakanda. So they ended up having to scrap most of the storyboard for Wakanda Forever, but they kept that theme-ish about what T'Challa was like feeling, and say they're going to see a lot of that in this film, that kind of the pain and the angst that he had from being blipped for 5 years. But we can't wait for that movie to come out in just a few weeks.
A week from tonight.
Is it really?
Or tomorrow night, technically. But yes.
Wow.
Comes out on the 11th, and so you know it'll be in theaters like Wednesday night or Thursday night. So,
it's going to be epic!
Yes!
Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We'll be right back.
So there you have it, folks, out there in TV land. Get you some glasses, they're sweeping the land. Remember what I said, now I'm a hip hopper, yeah. Go get you some blue blockers. Mm.
So that's what blue blockers are.
Yeah, man.
Okay. You know, I may have actually met that rapper as a kid.
Seriously?
Yeah. My blue blockers are actually like...
Yeah, I know. They're not near as cool as these in the 80s, but...
Yeah, look, they're not cool. They were just $10. They came with like a little cleaner thing, and they work.
But they were not like this cool.
Yeah, and I wear them under my glasses, my regular glasses, so I don't have to sit an inch away from the screen.
Yeah.
Well, other nerd news that we have. If you've got $1.5 million just lying around... The Creel House from Stranger Things is up for sale, the Creel Mansion.
Wow.
And actually, look at the pictures. That looks lovely.
It does look lovely. I mean, even with the Halloween, the pumpkins outside, it's fantastic.
It is. It's beautiful. And, you know, this is what they made it look like. Sorry, you can't see this on the
incredible.
Air.
Oh, my gosh. That's
but it is
amazing.
I can't
functioning
see it either.
House
I'm in a different room.
And mansion. Yeah, we do that on purpose, though. He's a biter. It's for the safety of everyone in the studio.
Oh my
you guys
God.
Are ruining my reputation.
We're enhancing
Not that
your
I
reputation.
Had a good reputation yeah. to begin
we're,
with.
We're enhancing. It doesn't. We don't know if it's going good or bad.
We should talk about something specific.
All right, let's go to Black Adam.
Let's go to talk about Black Adam.
So,
there we go.
Black Adam. Well, you know how my feelings are about this. First of all, I'll say I really liked The Rock. I think he did a great job in that movie. I enjoyed his... and I don't know anything about Black Adam or that character, but I thought it was interesting. But I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I liked him as well. I thought it was kind of interesting. There were some rumors running about that if you think about the Dwayne Johnson clause in all of his movies, that people didn't like that.
Well,
And so there's an element, and I was trying to replay the film because I hadn't really heard of that until afterwards, and I was trying to replay it. Go,
what's the Dwayne
so
Johnson
during
clause?
The Fast and the Furious series, he and then supposedly Vin Diesel and also other, and I think Jason Statham all had these things that their characters couldn't lose a fight. They either won or it was a draw, but they couldn't actually lose a fight. And so the concept that Black Adam never lost a fight during the movie was there. However, as I was thinking about it, he didn't go up against anybody who could compete with him until the very end of the film. And
still won.
He won. So it's like, what would you have done? Have him lose and, you know, like limp away? And
well, he lost his son.
Well, he lost his son.
That's not a fight,
yeah,
though.
But and it was interesting because I was thinking about this on my flight home yesterday. I was watching Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, and, good movie.
And it's a great movie. And you have three different battles that take place. And it's like, you know, you see the fight that goes on while they're in the ocean. And, you know, Godzilla essentially wins that battle, but they play dead. And then the second one, and the guy's like, well, round two goes to Kong. And it's sort of like, I think that's what people were expecting. They were looking for an element where he would get beaten, but not completely defeated, and then come back. And I don't know that I needed that.
Well, that's a recipe for, like, a Marvel, you know, everyone gets beaten down and then has to come back and learn something. My biggest concerns with the movie is, one, it was very predictable, but how quickly he formed, well, one, how quickly he learned English after being asleep for 5,000 years. It was
they
like a flip of a switch.
They all spoke English. It's a very vaguely Egyptish type of world, but they all speak English.
The relationship between the Ant-Man 2.0 and Storm 2.0, I don't know their characters' names, which just felt awkward about like teen angst and romance. And I was talking to Darth Blue Suader Shoes. He says that actor who plays DC's version of Ant-Man, I don't know what his real name is.
Adam
Smasher.
Yeah. You know, is mostly familiar, mostly in teenage rom-coms type of thing. And so him trying to go over to this element might be DC's way of trying to bring in that younger audience. But I just don't think it worked very well. I didn't feel a connection to either of those characters.
I agree. It was like they threw in those characters just because they were worse than the teenager who couldn't act. And he was not very good. He was like he wasn't the worst part of the movie. Those two characters who were just there were the worst part of the movie.
To me, it felt like an opportunity to introduce the DC.
The D team?
The DCCU.
The team who could.
A couple characters that they could then build additional stories off of that they could play on HBO Max. It sort of reminded me of them taking a slightly different approach to what Marvel's done, where you've got these movies where now you've got characters that you do in the shows and then you move them into the movies. It almost felt like they had done that in reverse. Like they were going, okay, well, we're going to introduce them in the film. And then we're going to bring them into a TV show later. That's what they were setting us up for. So
I don't know if that's the good recipe.
No, I mean, I don't know it is.
Well, you know, looking at the...
It's going to be dumb. There are going to be dumb TV shows that should premiere on Nickelodeon for the children.
We need that disclaimer again, Scott.
It could be. Well, I'm completely flustered.
disclaimer's not playing again.
Although I will say that I agree with Micah that under the current pretense that they set up, I do not think that they would be good.
Oh, I don't think so either.
I was disappointed in it.
I grew up with Batman and a little bit of Superman, but you know, everyone's fallen for Marvel so much that so many of these characters, even if they were around before Marvel created them, and I don't know enough of the comic book history, but Pierce Brosnan's character, who I enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
I like that character. I love the costume too, but he just seemed too much Professor X. There are so many parallels of characters that I sense with Marvel that he can kind of see into the future. He's kind of telekinetic.
Well, he was probably invented by Marvel, or someone like Doctor Strange was invented after him.
But he was kind of like a mix of Professor X and Doctor Strange.
A little bit, yeah.
If you take a look, DC and Marvel have ripped each other off so often. Like, it's not just Deadpool being ripped off. Throughout the years, you think, oh, this character was created by Marvel. Well, no, they actually ripped him off. So we're going to see a lot of that stuff. It's just I didn't care about a lot of the side characters.
It was hard to get emotionally invested in any of the characters, I think.
Because they had to shoehorn
Black Adam.
They shoehorned him in. And I didn't care about Dr. Magic and Hawkman. Like, they had friendship
Hawkman
that they had for 50 years or whatever. And at the end, Dr. Magic dies, and it's supposed to be this emotional thing. And I did not care at all because there was no investment in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, and I guess I was a little bit more I just knew that there was more to the story, and that's what I was leaning into, and I appreciated that, and I like that. I have to say I really liked the way that I didn't know anything about Black Adam going into it. I liked the twist. I like that element when, you know, you're sitting here thinking about this and then you find out that he wasn't really supposed to be who he was, that it was his son that was that individual. And you and I kept thinking throughout that, well, that's the manifestation of him as the adult when they said Shazam. And I loved how they twisted that up and they made it to where it wasn't. I thought that was one of the best kept secrets of the movie and the story. And it made for great storytelling because I enjoyed that so much, as opposed to thinking that it was just, you know, another great, you know, blah, 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 revenge. But it wasn't. He was an angry dad that had lost his son and he was ticked off.
Absolutely great twist. You empathize with the guy. You're just like, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
I would go through and I would just slaughter all the bad guys because that's, I mean,
yeah.
His only son, his wife, his son are killed by the bad guys over a metal.
And that's happened in a lot of these movies, but it was a good twist. The one thing I loved seeing Superman at the end in that post-credit scene, but to me, you know, he destroys that throne, which was very symbolic of kind of his ties to, you know, that region. So why did she have to call in Superman to just wave her finger at him and say, you need to behave yourself? Because I didn't get the sense that he was going to cause trouble.
Well, I don't think she knew that. I think it was more along the lines of, you know, we need to, like, put you in your place sort of thing. And that's why you hate that character. So
yeah,
that's what I saw. But
interesting movie all around.
We'll come back and we should wrap this up.
We should. Stay tuned for more Nerd Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here we're discussing Black Adam, and we'll get to Andor.
Kind of our final thoughts on Black Adam.
Yeah. I don't have much more.
What I'm going to say is I enjoyed the film. I liked it. I liked it more than I have probably the last two or three Marvel films I've seen. And I was thinking through that. I liked it more than the Multiverse of Madness. I certainly liked it more than the Eternals. I liked it more than the series that I've seen on Disney Plus, you know, with Ms. Marvel and She-Hulk. And I know that, you know, I'm having to rethink the whole She-Hulk thing because apparently that was very common in the comics to break the fourth wall. So I'm trying to reframe that a little bit. But I still, overall, from an enjoyment perspective, I thought Black Adam was actually really good. And I know there's a lot of tropes and there's a lot of the stereotypes.
A lot of tropes.
I know, and I'm acknowledging that.
A lot of eye-rolling moments.
But I thought they were done in a way that it made sense. It wasn't like that came out of left field that they were trying to, I think to the point you made earlier, shoehorn it in. It followed that, and I was starting to wonder, have we seen most of the tropes anyways that we're never going to see? There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to like the superhero films. We're always going to have something very similar in that regard. We're never going to see anything so unique that makes us believe that, wow, I've never seen this done before and this is amazing and what a great take on that character relationship.
Those tropes were like really, really irritating, a lot of them throughout the movie. But I didn't think, if they didn't have that really big payoff, if The Rock wasn't so good, because he was different than his character in every other movie, I liked it. If those two aspects weren't so appealing, I would have not enjoyed the movie.
And I think that I would agree with you wholeheartedly. I think those elements made it a more enjoyable film, and I personally would have no problem endorsing it. So I will put my vote in for the Nerd Show stamp of approval right there, that I would approve it.
Now, Nick, what are you going to say?
I did not enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed it as a film, but it's not one I'd watch again.
And I would agree. I would not watch again unless I had to. It's maybe, you know what? it might be a Saturday afternoon, no football, nothing that I want to watch else on, I'll watch it. But it's really, there's nothing too special other than The Rock and that twist ending, which I just saw.
It was better than The Eternals, not better than...
Way better.
But yeah, for me, from the last DC movie I saw, which was The Batman, it doesn't even compare. It doesn't come close.
Oh,
so I'm going to say...
No. Yeah,
The Batman's brilliant.
Yeah. No, I
does
don't,
not get my approval.
But I think there's a huge gap
between
those that are still... They still could be good in both of those areas. But yes, I mean, for me, Black Adam gets probably a 7.5. You know, maybe, you know... Between a 7 and a 7.5.
I'm going to give him a 6.66.
Yeah, see.
I don't have a problem with your score of that, because it could be scored very low.
The devil was in it.
But the ending for me gave it a lot, gave it high enough to give it a 7.5. It's way better than some of the Marvel movies, way better than some of the DCEU movies. I would say it's a strong beginning for the new DC movies. And now that James Gunn is running everything DC, which we forgot to mention, I'm sorry.
Can we play Peter Gunn for our bumper music?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we could do that.
We could do that on our way back in, sure.
Yeah, his long-lost cousin.
Yeah, we could do that.
Micah, you're the final deciding vote. Does it get the Nerd Show stamp of approval or not?
I think Nerd Show stamp of approval has to be a little higher, so I would not give it a Nerd Show stamp of approval, but I would say it's pretty good. It's good.
It's an almost.
Yeah. And Nick, you would have to approve it.
Fair.
For it to be a Nerd Show stamp of approval.
Understood. Well, moving on to
on to something that I know we're all going to approve.
Oh.
Episode 8, because even though episode 9 is out and I've seen it.
As have I.
Nick, you haven't seen episode 8.
Nope. My bad.
What about Tales of the Jedi?
Yes.
I saw
loved
Tales
them.
Of the Jedi.
Okay.
Saw it last night.
Yes, it was. I liked it. I
they
had a lot
perfect.
Of people hating on it, and
what?
I thought it was phenomenal. What great fillers.
Oh, yes.
Who's hating on it?
Dave Filoni is the best thing to happen to Star Wars since George Lucas created Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars fans are hating on it. They feel like that, you know, Dave Filoni, and again, I shouldn't say everybody, because that's not an all-inclusive statement, but I've seen several things. You know, I don't know what Dave Filoni's doing. Why in the world is he so in love with Ahsoka? Well, he created this amazing character that is a very strong female non-human character that is a badass, and I know I can say that.
And how is this
now.
Taken away from anything that
it's
we've
not.
Seen already? Or even if you haven't seen the cartoons, the either Rebels or the Clone Wars, you still get Ahsoka. Wouldn't you want some kind of backstory for what we're going to see live action?
Well, and I am completely digging the whole Qui-Gon, Dooku, Mace Windu.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about, because I always wondered about that. It was like, how did Dooku go from being a Jedi Master that was, you know, Qui-Gon's, you know, because I remember that in episode 2 when he's like, you know, I wish he were here. I could use his help right now.
Yes.
You literally see that fleshed out in the Tales of the Jedi in multiple incidents, and you're like,
and it was fleshed out very well.
It was so well done.
Well,
yes.
They opened up how corrupt the Senate was before
the Senate was
all
old.
This. I mean, it was
and
bad.
And you start to question the Jedi Council. You know, you're like, and I love that question, and I think it's episode 4 where he's like, did you know that you were going to replace this guy on the council before we went on this mission? When he asked that of Mace Windu, and you know, he's like, we should look forward to future things, and you're like, oh my gosh, maybe, you know, Mace is not this perfect Jedi that everybody thought he was,
I didn't think he was ever perfect.
Well,
I always assumed he was like one of those walking the line type of guys.
Well, and there's a little bit of that because some of the stuff that they decanonized when they actually got into some of the books about Mace Windu did that a little bit, that he kind of pushed the envelope. But there was an element of potential corruption and manipulation that was brought into play there that Dooku was struggling with even before that. And I just... really like how they played that. It was nuanced enough that there was nothing blatant, but you're like, wow. And we know what happened to Yaddle.
Oh, and where the missing planet went.
Yes.
Who's Yaddle?
Yaddle was the
Yoda-like.
The Yoda-like Jedi that went after Dooku.
It was voiced by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard got
to
do that. Yep.
You go, Bryce.
Yeah. You see her on the Jedi Council in episode one, and then she's gone by the time you get to episode two.
As listeners, as you know, I am not as much of a Star Wars fan as these two gentlemen here.
I am a
Star Wars observer.
yes.
I observer. Graded, before we grade everything, and I'll just give my grade now. I graded everything, every episode individually, because I didn't do any research into this. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know these were coming out until it showed up on Disney Plus. So I thought this was going to be like that awful Star Wars anime that came out
ago. The Star Wars Visions?
Yeah, Star Wars Visions, and that was just terrible. There were two good ones and just a bunch of stuff in the toilet. And I assumed that none of these were going to be connected, so I started grading each one individually, and then I realized that they were connected. And I gave them all eights and nines.
Yeah.
Because they were all so good.
Well, but there was a lot of content in what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I think 18 minutes. I think the longest one out of the six was 18 minutes long. And keep in mind, you lose 4 minutes of that due to the credit. Mm-hmm. So it's 10, 12 minutes of content that you're
And a lot of content. They packed more content into every episode. I mean, the first one was interesting to know about Ahsoka and how, you know, you're kind of discovered as a young Jedi and an infant. We've seen that before with the child and the asset kind of, you know, taking down a big creature on their own and kind of get, you know, you know, the force power. But gosh, I mean, just packing in so much in those episodes was awesome. Just truly awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, just brushing up on who discovered Ahsoka. I think it was Plo Koon, Master Plo, who's the one who found her and took her to the Jedi Temple.
Right.
But I loved the Dooku stuff and the Qui-Gon, plus with having Qui-Gon and, Liam Neeson back to do that.
You had
Ian McDiarmid.
He did the Emperor.
Oh gosh, yeah. And then you know the best was seeing him working with the Emperor for that long. Like, why'd you kill Qui-Gon? He could have been an asset to us. Why'd you have Maul do that? And then, I mean, how long was Dooku working with the Emperor? That's still mysterious.
Like I always thought that he had been corrupted. Like, I always assumed that he had been corrupted. But if you I don't think he was corrupted.
Who is my question. Did Dooku seek out the...
I get the impression that we are going to get a whole new kind of sort of backstory with Sidious and with Dooku that is going to go back before Maul. I think that there's a potential that he saw Dooku as an ally within, you know, the Jedi and was working him one direction and then Maul the other, and then they kind of coalesced and... Because we still see Dooku without a red lightsaber when he battles and kills Yaddle.
So. Yeah, even though he had killed before.
Yeah.
Wow. Great series, Star Wars Tales of the Jedi. Stay tuned for more Star Wars talk when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Nerd Show. That was Peter Gunn. That was one of my favorite pieces to play in Pep Band when I was in middle and high school.
Wait, did the people on the air get to hear that? Because I don't understand how bumper music works.
Oh yeah, all that bumper music.
After the blue blocker thing, I'm completely messed up.
That's all right. Never mind.
So let's put a bow on Tales of the Jedi. Micah, you already gave your ranking, so we know where they're sitting. Nick, what do you think? Is this a approved series?
Absolutely.
And I
want more.
This is absolutely, absolutely phenomenal.
That did not get enough hype up to what these episodes were.
Yes.
I didn't even know it was coming.
Yeah. There was a little bit of advertisement on Disney Plus, and there was a little bit on social media. Not a lot.
I'm never on social media and Disney Plus. Never see advertisements.
Yeah. I think they might have done that on purpose because you don't know how it's going to land. And I thought it landed perfectly. So
yeah, it was weird to be coming out at the same time as Andor, but it was. I mean, they were fantastic. Again, 12 to 18 minute long episodes. So much packed with content. Yeah, big thumbs up for me.
I binged. Me too. I binged it really quickly.
Less than an hour.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah. Gosh, we haven't had that in a while.
What were people complaining about?
They were complaining because it focused primarily on Ahsoka and Dooku.
What's wrong with that? I liked the idea of finding out. Yeah. We never knew anything about Dooku. Dooku was such an interesting character.
I agree. What I've read online, and I don't want to spend too much time on that because we need to talk about Andor, is that people were looking for stuff that we've not heard of. You think about the Star Wars universe. It's gigantic. It's huge. It spans, you know, millennia. And they keep putting out content around a handful of characters. And that was the reason that there was some complaints about it, that they wanted to see something from, you know, the old Jedi Knights of the old Republic. They wanted to see something that took place 500 years before, you know, the Battle of Yavin, instead of right up during, you know, the Clone Wars and everything else. So we might see that in the future, and wouldn't hurt my feelings. But
maybe this
gotta
is
move
just
on
for
Andor,
people like
Micah.
Me.
Yeah.
We have about 6 minutes left to talk Andor.
Oh,
episode 8.
So good. And
the tension they're building in this series without much action is just incredibly smart and great writing.
And we keep seeing Yularen, and you're seeing what is going on there, and you see what's going on. And I don't want to tip my hand because I know what happens in episode 9, but Serral is going to go off the deep end.
Oh, I like him.
He is an inch away from. I mean, she was.
Oh,
she, I don't know who is that. Mira, Miko,
yeah,
Miro,
Mira, the,
Mira.
Yeah.
She is fierce, and even like, I mean, I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, he's throwing himself at you, not, you know, to date or anything like that, but like, I want to help you. I want to bring justice. Yeah. You'd think with Hez, how much hatred and vitriol there is in the ISB, that she'd welcome him into that. And she kept, maybe she sees, and again, I haven't seen the episode, how terrifying he could be.
Mm. Or maybe she wants all the power for herself.
I think that, yes. And I think there's a little bit of foreshadowing going on there. But yeah, and the way that they are handling things and the way they keep, you know, they talked about the, you know, the directive, the POID or whatever they were calling it, you know, the protective order, and they doubled everybody's take, and, you know, they're freaking out, and all the things that are going on there are just fantastic. And to your point, it's building up all of this tension, and it's like Lutheran talked about that, you know, you're going to do that. And then we got to see Saw Gerrera.
Oh, my gosh.
That
he had one of the best monologues in Star Wars. His fiery passion about why this rebellion won't work was just what he said. They're lost. They're lost.
Lost. I'm the only one who isn't. Yes.
And it was. And then because we know how Saw Gerrera is viewed as from Mon Mothma's perspective in Rogue One. He's an extremist. But we get to see a Z-95 headhunter.
We did.
Which was cool. We get to see Tube Face again. But that was I had no idea where Lutheran was going. And I'm like, oh, I never heard of this planet. And then to see it's like, oh, my gosh, he's going to see Saw Gerrera.
Yeah.
That's just I mean, it's this has been. This series to me is better than The Mandalorian, and I in a different way too. You know, Mando was very action packed, very you know, but this is so adding so much complexity and backstory to the Senate, to the regular people, the regular people that I don't think we ever resonate and connect with as fans.
Well, this has been so good, as you said earlier, building suspense. The best episode was the heist, but. What was best about it wasn't the action part of it. It was the buildup. And it takes a special type of writer and a special type of composer and a special type of actor to really bring that all together. And they've really brought it all together.
I love these three episode chunks.
Well, and I am going to warn you on this one. It's more than three episodes chunk.
Oh, man.
And I think it's fabulous that this whole chunk does not end with today's episode.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait
great.
To see it.
And then in the previous week's episode, we saw, you know, Vel and then and
Sintas.
And she's like, you know what I told you. The rebellion comes first and we take what's left. And you see the struggle that you have. And we already know that Vel has some sort of rich connection, and that's going to be interesting when that gets fleshed out. And you're going, wow. And there's all these, you know, the things that they're being interlaced with, and the way, you know, the with Mira, yeah. The way she is playing this, she is going to continue to get opportunity and continue to grow in power and stature. And I loved how earlier they talked about, you know, watch your back. Yeah, watch your back. She's going to end up like owning this thing. I have a feeling that she is going to be like one step under Yularen, that, you know, we talk about the old, no longer canon stuff. And I remember the stories of Grand Moff Tarkin and, you know, Isarde, and how that relationship, I literally feel like that we're creating a similar type of relationship that could build up between Yularen and Mira.
Until she takes all the power.
But not
herself.
In a romantic way, but literally in a power way, that they're literally going to be, he is at this level and she's right below him and she is kicking butt and taking names.
I wish she was.
You know, is pretty.
Going to Cassian too, his story. I mean, that.
Oh, yeah.
What a just tragic, sentence he has. I mean, an incredible prison scene. You know, I love the parallels between like status, of like shoes. And how the prisoners have no shoes. And the boots are like, okay, well, you know, this protects us, but also it's footwear. It's something so basic that just drawing that little subtlety into the show is brilliant. But just to see how defeated he is.
Yeah.
And just how, the heartbreaking thing was his.
Yeah, but time. I think that is being, I think he's accepting where he's at, but he is not defeated.
Oh, no, he can't be.
No, and
he's in a, I can't wait for the prison riot that I assume is going to happen. But what are they building? Are they building stuff for the Death Star? How many? And there was no aliens there. It was all human. You notice that?
Well, yeah. They are very anti-alien in every concept, so.
But you think they'd be having them as slaves, not like prisoners.
But maybe in
prisoners with jobs.
Prisoners with jobs, yes.
What an awesome week again for nerds. We'll be back next week with an all-new nerd show. Nerdians, y'all stay nerdy.